Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy.
No, your car alarm. It's going off again.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Lord, you! Christmas last forever.
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale! We are the wild and pretty guys!
Well, they're both festive, aren't they?
Joyeux Noël!
And we are the festive foreign film fans! Merry Christmas, Mark!
Ho, 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 ho.
I can't believe I got you out of the house to come here and record on Christmas!
You know, priorities.
I know, family, yeah. You know.
Jackson, Lena Grace, you know, B-Pile will be right back.
Yeah. Just keep those presents coming.
In fact, B-Pile who? Give me the presents.
So don't you think we should maybe talk about a Easter movie or a 4th of July movie today?
Absolutely.
Because we do Christmas every other episode.
Yeah. It's been Christmas for the last 7 months.
Come on. It's always Christmas for us. But no, this is in fact, I would kind of want to put you on the spot and make you tell us what you did with your family, but we're going to keep that as a secret. But you know, I've had my birthday. We had our family outing. We've done lots of fun Christmas things. We defended our Christmas trivia title.
We also, you forgot to mention the 12 beers of Christmas, Bob.
Oh my gosh, Mark, you're right. Our favorite activity. And I know we talked about this in one of the earlier episodes. And Mark and I have a favorite place that we'd like to go to, which is Duke's in Crystal Lake, Illinois. For all of you who are listening who know where Crystal Lake, Illinois is, and they have the best two activities of the year. First is Halloween, and you do the 13 beers of Halloween. And then for Christmas, we do the 12. You know, they used to do, right, 12 beers, yeah. Right? And now they kind of made it 12 drinks. They had to throw in some eggnog martinis and some other stuff.
Fine with me.
Well, Mark, I just got to know, you know, we've built up. We've had Christmas. And, what have you gained any new insights, any new inspiration from all the Christmas viewing that we have done, discussions that we've had, traditions that we've learned?
Yeah, I certainly think since this has started and we've been celebrating Christmas every month, at least twice a month, multiple. I mean, certainly new perspectives, right? New sources of Christmas traditions, new sources of Christmas movies. You know, we incorporated some of the movies into our holidays this year as a family. You know, and so I think that's been great. I think also, you know, for some of our close friends and some extended friends, right, people who have listened to the podcast, it's now this whole new conversation, right? It's, you know, in the beginning it was my nephews and great nephews sort of making fun of me because they said, gosh, you can actually complete a sentence. And so, but now it's evolved into like, wow, I really did. I watched that movie and this or that, or I don't agree. And actually there was a bit of a, I don't know if I told you, Bob, but there's a big Chandler controversy.
Oh no.
The family was split for a couple. We were back together because it's Christmas, but whether we had pronounced Plotky correctly. So, you know, again,
They discounted me entirely, I'm sure, because they're like, sounded like he was choking on something.
But yeah, so I think it's there's now a different level of conversations I'm having with friends, with family. You know, I saw some notes that people sent in about the podcast, and it's like, I don't know, people are interested in giving us feedback. So,
Mark, I'm just sitting here stunned in silence because we don't talk about this ahead of time. In fact, we purposely don't because we see each other, and if we talked about it, then we wouldn't have anything to talk about. But I'm sitting here going, I was going to tell Mark that the thing that I've gained for this that I never expected was the fact that people who listen, and I expected our spouses to listen and my kids, I'd make them listen. But there are people out there who regularly listen who, one, I didn't necessarily expect, but two, we discuss it. We have a dialogue, and it's people that I'm kind of surprised sometimes that they go, hey, I listened and I like this, or I want to know about that. And it has been really, really fun and surprising to me. And to hear you say the same thing, it's great, isn't it?
It is. It's fantastic.
And unexpected.
And very unexpected. And I, you know, have to maybe apologize to you, Bob, because I think I had let the viewers know early on how you had, you know, forced me into doing this. But I'm really glad you did, because it's been fun. It's been like a 7-month present that it's been taking 7 months for me to open this present.
Well, and that's, and I, you know, we jumped into it right away, which I typically do and don't ever think about what I was going to originally start with. But I was going to say that I wanted to start in, of course, Merry Christmas. And the one thing that you taught me with the what I loved about that was it was very meaningful. You hand it to the person and you say Merry Christmas. So I really wanted to say, look at you and say Merry Christmas. But I also wanted to say, it's been so much better than I ever anticipated. And you've been a great co-host. Oh my gosh. In terms of just pure enjoyment. That's, if it's just us talking and nobody's listening, I don't care. I'm having a great time.
It's been great conversations. And Merry Christmas, Jake. I have to make sure.
Yes, Merry Christmas to our good sound engineer, Jake Fontana.
Hey, Merry Christmas back at you guys.
But now, can we talk about a movie?
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
So tonight, as Bob mentioned, we listened to and reviewed a Russian movie last time. Tonight, we're going to focus in on a movie from Ukraine. This film, it's a recent film, too. Yeah. It was put out last year. It's called Carol of the Bells, or actually in Ukrainian, it's called Shedrk, which actually means generous.
Could I ask you one? You know, when you said that, you made me think to 2022, and I was thinking, how long does it take films to be filmed, because I'm like, they had to probably film this before the war, don't you think?
I would think I'm glad you asked, because I had the same question. And so it looked like it was filmed in 2020 and 2021 and then released in 2022.
Got it. Okay.
So yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, you know, but yeah, great, you know, and Carol of the Bells is, as most American knows, right? That's a famous song. But it actually originated, and I'm going to talk about the movie, but maybe just a couple of seconds on the song. So the song was originally written in 1916 in Ukraine. It was first debuted in the U.S. in October of 1922, so about 6 years later. And to date, there's about 150, the song's been recorded in 150 different languages.
Oh, wow.
Some different verses, right? And so the meaning of the song in Ukraine versus U.S., totally different words, right? The like I said, the Shedrik is the name of the song they use, and really the song is about generosity. And the belief was you sing this song around Christmas and New Year's, and it's really about a little swallow who comes in and flies in and tells the farmer that good news, right? You've had another sheep and your crops are good, and that sheep's going to bring you gold, and you're going to have all this money, and you have a beautiful wife, and you have all these good things and good fortune coming to you. So, you know, in our American culture, it's a totally different word, and I'm not going to try to sing that word.
No, but I'm fascinated, because I'm like, I knew nothing of this. This is all new. This is really, now the sheep, that's not symbolic for like Jesus.
No.
No, no. It's like, it's actually like good you have fortune. Good things in your life.
Yeah, right? Good things are happening to you, and you should be joyful about all the good things in your life, and that all this, all these good things like the sheep and the harvest are going to bring you money, great profits. And so it'll be more relevant when we, you know, talk a little bit about the movie, but I thought it was very, very interesting about this song so many people in the U.S. when it comes on during our Christmas, New Year, you just love the music to it, right? And it's, but the movie itself is, like I said, it's from 2022. And has similarly movie. They have lots of different characters in it, but there's two main ones that I would point out. One is the actress's name is Janina Rudinitska, and she plays Irma. Janina was born in Kiev and has appeared in movies and TV series. She currently resides in Berlin, but we haven't found any that she's appeared in any English language films. Okay. The other person that we would highlight is Andrei Mastrandrinko. He plays Mahilo. He's an artist in Ukraine, appearing in the Ukrainian Theater of Drama and Musical Comedy, and then the Kiev Theater of Drama and Comedy. He's born in Estonia, and we also, again, can't find any English language films that he appeared in. So those are the two. So, or you know, in this movie, Irma and Mahilo are husband and wife. Yep. They live together think about it as a large apartment building.
Okay.
And so it's set in Stanislav, Poland in 1939. And it's really about these three families that live in this apartment building. They love music. They're really good friends. It's a very peaceful setting in the very beginning. They're all living in harmony together. Their kids play together. But then, and this is where, Bob, too, we talked about a little bit in our film earlier in the year, or earlier this month, but this movie then is really split into three things, three different world events that happen. So, you know, the Ukrainian people are living together, and then, you know, first there's sort of the Soviet occupation. So the Soviets come in, they occupy Ukraine. They are very negative towards the Polish people. And so, you know, in during that occupation, the Polish family, which is what is really Janina and Milo, they are sort of looked down upon. They're second class citizens, right? They're not allowed to travel as much, but they're still getting along, you know, with everyone in the neighborhood. But then the Russian forces are pushed out by the German. So this is, think about World War II now starting, right? So early war, World War II, it's the Russians are occupying Ukraine. Yep. Now the Germans invade. And when the Germans invade, again, that's the second sort of thing that happens. The Germans come in, they take over the occupation. The Polish family is now not necessarily being discriminated against, but the Jewish family is, right? So now, unfortunately, the Germans come in. They start, as we well know the story, right, where they start taking the Jewish families, taking them to the train stations to be processed. Well, in the movie, Janina and Milo, they actually take the two Jewish children. So the mom and dad are about to be processed. They said, oh, we just have to go meet. We'll be back. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to be good. And the dad sort of has this feeling like, we shouldn't take the kids, right? And so they leave the two children with Janina, and they go and process. And of course, they don't come back.
Yep.
So now Janina and Milo, it's actually Mahalo. They take in the Jewish children. And then just because the movie wants to be dramatic, a German officer moves into their building. Yes, and so now they're like, we have to hide these children. We can't, you know, they can't get caught. But Janina's little is also a musician and a teacher of music. And their little daughter, has this beautiful, beautiful voice.
And the kids are, I mean, it was hard not to also call them out. They were, the girls were amazing.
Beautiful. And so the German officer moves in, right? And so the little girl of Janina Milo, she, you know, knows and senses that the Germans aren't good people, but she's like, well, I'm just going to solve this. I'm going to go and sing the song Carol of the Bells to them, because again, it's about a joyous time. And really the tradition in Ukraine was, if you go and you sing this song to someone, it's going to bring them peace. That's going to make you your friends. And so,
she always says it makes everyone happy. The right. song makes everyone happy. It
makes everybody happy. So she went up and sang it to the German officer. They sort of very nice and sort of very cordial, a little reserved, them, especially the officer's wife. But at the end, she invites them to dinner. And so now you have the German, the mom's like, absolutely, we're not going. Yes. The dad's like, well, maybe we should go, right? I mean, because again, they don't know that they're hiding Jewish children, right? Right. They just think it's a family who lives there, and right, they're just, you know, being occupied by Germany. And so they go to dinner. Of course, they hide the Jewish children. They actually hide them in a clock.
Which is amazing,
right? Like this clock is a safe, and if you put the hands in the right direction, it opens up. And so they hide them in the safe, and so they have dinner. They're actually very nervous, and they find out that Janina is a musician and a teacher. And so they say, well, you're going to teach my child how to sing and how to be musical. And Janina just wants nothing to do with that, right? But it's sort of like when she shows the reservation that she wants to do that, the German officer actually orders her, like, you will do this. And so they're doing that. But then, you know, along the way, then the husband, Mahalo, he is a musician. He works in a local club, making barely a few cents per night. I think it was like 10 or 20 cents per night. But he also starts working for the underground.
Yes.
And she, of course, Janina doesn't know that. And so he's working the underground. They're hiding the children. Unfortunately, and I'm going to keep a lot in and not tell the audience about the movie. But one part it will tell. One of the children gets very sick.
Yes.
The dad runs out, starts pounding on the doors after curfew to try to get some of the other Ukrainian or Polish doctors to come and visit and to make the child better.
And there were two things about it. One is that often I've seen World War II movies, I forgot about the curfew. I didn't even think about it. It's never really been and this was huge, like being out after curfew. And in that movie, you thought, okay, the doctor, he's beating on the door, the doctor's going to come.
Yeah.
The doctor's like, no, I can't be out after curfew. Go away.
Go away. Yeah. I mean, it was the death.
Stunning.
It's a stunning scene, right? Because the dad is clearly doing everything he can. And this is not even his child.
It's not
right?
Even
this
his
is not
child,
his child, right? So, you know, you have these two people now who now have, you know, these children, they're taking care of their own. Now they have this German officer who's forcing them to teach music and singing to to their son. The dad's sort of off, you know, going to work, but then at the same time, sort of doing some espionage against the Germans.
Going to work, singing German songs.
Forced to sing German songs.
To, like, officers, right.
Yeah, I mean, that was an interesting part, right? Where you can see the displeasure on the face of him as he's trying to and being forced to sing songs that he maybe doesn't even know. But but he's doing what he can to keep his wife, his daughter, these other two children who aren't even his own safe, right? So he, along the way, he gets captured. So now he is captured by the German army. Before I talk about the German, like a couple times when when the German officers come in and they search the home, she's able to produce paperwork to justify at least one of the children being there, and her own children. But the one night when he doesn't come home, you know, she starts to get worried.
Yes.
And she's like, okay, what's going on? What's happening here? She leaves the three children together. And the oldest one is probably about 13 or 14. And she goes down and she finds out that he's been shot and killed.
Yeah.
But we'll share that in the movie. So now here she is on her own with the children and, you know, living under German rule, being forced to do things for the German officer and teaching his kid music. And the wife who comes down with the kid every day to get his music lessons, right? She's just mean. Like, I think she's envious of her talent and of her beauty, of her kindness. And so Janina is now also like mopping the floors.
Yeah.
And the German officer's wife comes down and hands her a basket. And I thought, oh, is she giving her clothing? But then it was really food, but it was all rotten food.
Yeah.
You do go from 1939 to 1985,
yep,
where there's one of the girls, or you assume one of the girls, who is now in New York appearing on Broadway singing.
Big singer, yeah.
Big singer, right? And so every once in a while, you flash back from, or flash forward from 1939 to 1985. But it's not long, but you know that in this mix of three or four children, somebody gets out. Well,
that's almost the thing I thought of is, wow, one made it. Because if you don't start out that way, but
no.
As time goes on, you're like, is anyone going to survive this?
Yeah, because all of a sudden, right, it was the original, the mom and dad, the Jewish mom and dad, right? They disappear, mm-hmm. right? You presume that they're dead. The dad then is shot and killed as a spy by the German government. And so they're living in this. And then all of a sudden, it's now the Russians are back. The Russians now have occupied. They have taken over. The German officer and his wife, are worried. They run out the one day. They grab their stuff. They jump into a car and off they take. And, you know, Janina is watching this with her daughter singing, what happened? Like, why are they going, right? And they realize the Russians are coming in to be the liberators. But then there's a knock on the door. And I'm thinking, like, who is knocking? Like,
who's
this, right? I'm stressed. It's the little boy of the German mom and dad of the officer. And so they've been killed.
And you're like, this poor woman,
right?
I mean, who's left, you know, all these kids and takes on another one.
Well, at first, there's the daughters were not happy.
Right.
Why are we taking him in, right? They're the reason dad's dead, right? The German, right? And she's very good about saying, well, he did nothing. Yeah. He's a victim here. So now she's taken them all in and is caring for them, right? As when they find out he is a German, though, they do try to take him away. Maybe I'll reveal this. He unfortunately does end up getting shot by the Russian mm-hmm. army.
Great liberators.
I know, great liberators. But it's amazing, right? And you think about, I know this is just a movie, but we talked about a little bit the other movie. But you think about even today in Ukraine, how many people and countries and leaders of other nations have invaded country.
I know.
Right? And I don't know. I found myself.
Well, and it was continuous levels of sadness.
Yeah.
Dune, and then down again and down again, you know?
So.
And it doesn't stop when the war ends.
No. It continues on. Well, in fact, you know, so you think, go back to what I said earlier. So the husband, Mahilo, who gets shot by the German government because he was trying to help overthrow the German army. Well, the Russians come in and they're like, well, your husband was involved in some nefarious action. So if he went against the Germans, he's probably going to go against the Russians. We know he's dead, but what did you do? Like, what did you do wrong? Right. And so they start interrogating her as she's a person of interest. And, it does get sadder. Yeah. She gets sent to Siberia.
Yeah.
And the kids end up becoming orphans.
Yeah. And split up.
Yeah, and split up. And, yeah. And so you're right. Could it get any sadder? And so the kids get sent to the orphanage. The mom is in a Russian camp. You know, as the movie sort of is winding down, they have this one song, right? The Carol of the Bells that unites them.
Right.
Right. It makes them happy. You do find out that more than one of them did survive. And actually the littlest of the girl is the famous singer. And it's right around Christmas Eve. And she's trying to bring back and unite some of the other children together in 1985. So,
it ends with a glimmer of hope.
With a glimmer of hope. Yeah. I mean, even throughout the movie, like I said, throughout the movie, when they would sing that song, she was trying to inspire happiness. She was trying to inspire others to feel good and feel happy about the holiday. I mean, it was Christmas that they were celebrating. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely at the end there a little bit of like sacrifices. Also, it's I think inspiring when you think about the Ukrainian culture and Ukrainian people, how resilient they are too. So the resiliency factor is there. And of course there's the mom and dad they had one child, but they ended up caring for four along the way and caring for the children of people they didn't like.
And you know what? You're right. The two things that stand out are, because it could sound terribly sad. Like, why would you want to watch this? Because it's just seeing people do horrible things to other people. But the resilience and the inspiration, it is amazing. And you think of those kids, they couldn't go outside.
Right.
For like 3 years, they didn't go outside. I mean, the stuff, and you know that people went through this and they survived and they made it and they're going through it today and they're doing, and you're just like, oh, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Well, so Festive, was it a Christmas movie, Bob?
You know, Mark, 5 minutes ago, I might have said no, because I was thinking too much about the negative, you know, the deaths and, you know, the conditions that they had to live through. But what you've just kind of made me really focus on and I was feeling when I watched that movie was, it was inspiring. Mm-hmm. It really was inspiring when life can throw at you the worst of the worst and you can still make it through and find a way to survive. So, you know what? Yeah, it was.
All right.
It was.
I agree. I agree 100%. How'd you feel watching the movie?
It was tough. I will tell you, I felt worn out at the end, just wrung out, because it shocked me in terms of, we have seen these similar Nazi type stories and the things that they did to the Jewish people. Yeah. What you haven't seen is the series of things that occurred, and, you know, and maybe we're used to Hollywood films where they kind of give you some happiness or some things to hang on to throughout the film. And here, it was a struggle. You know what I mean? You know, when you thought things couldn't get any worse for this family, they did get worse, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It was very stressful. It was, it pulled you down a little bit. And like I said, when the door knocked and I'm like, I literally said out loud, who could that be?
Who is it now?
I could see that. What about,
thing though?
Yeah.
Didn't you just come to love the song, though? I mean, I like Carol the Bells from Home Alone, you know, when John Williams did it, and then it's a great scene in Home Alone. But I'm like, oh my gosh, I love the song. And in a way that I had never thought about it before.
Yeah, and I would say, too, I would encourage you and the listeners to, it's on YouTube where I found it, too, is you can go and find the Ukrainian version with Ukrainian words, but it's translated for you too. Yep. Where it talks about, like I said, it starts about a little swallow coming in and talking to the farmer and wishing him well versus, you know, The American version is also very inspiring, but it's hard not to feel good about the song. The little girl's right.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
What about Future? Will you watch this movie again?
I think so. I think I will. I wouldn't mind, I think, sharing it with someone, watching it with somebody. It's not, you know, I wouldn't pull it out for the Christmas party and pop it in. But I don't know if necessarily I would only watch it at Christmas time. I might watch it kind of like a Schindler's List kind of thing. I think I would want to put it on and watch it when I need to watch a film like that.
Yeah, you know it. I agree with her saying, and it reminded me. I remember earlier this year we had shared with you. I think you watched it too. The show Little Light. That was National Geographic. I mean, it certainly felt there were similar things, although that's a true story.
Yes.
For those who maybe have watched it. But similarly, I feel like there's so many of these stories that are told, and there's so many things that have happened in just the most terrible situations that are inspiring.
Right. Yes.
And I think this is one of those type of films where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, while this may not be an exact true story, I'm sure there's stories of heroism and stuff out there that come from.
Yeah. And you need a charge like that. You know, you need sometimes to, you know, see something like this and live through it.
Yeah, and ground you in that this is the stuff that can happen, and you have to be careful about, you know, your own surroundings and your own world, what could lead to it. Let's talk about Merry Christmas in Ukrainian. So are you ready?
Yes.
Lashlievo Raziva. Lashlievo Raziva.
Now that sounds good. That sounds a lot
right.
I know, but it sounds a lot better than my Russian. I tell you that much.
Well, I tried. I tried. But traditions too. I mean, we'll talk about Ukrainian tradition. So in the Ukraine, Kuchka, which is a traditional dish served on Christmas Eve, is a ceremonial grain dish with a sweet gravy. Before dinner, the kuchka is placed in the corner. And that's actually the literal translation of kuchka is corner.
Huh.
It's placed in the corner, which is the most honorable place in the house. And after dinner, the kuchka is left on the table for the whole night with spoons for the dead ancestors.
Oh, wow.
So that our relatives, they're trying to celebrate so the relatives would have dinner and not be angry with us. The religious nature of the dish is an ancient custom, and the tradition is for the head of the family to go out into the yard and to, with a spoonful of kuchka, and addressing Frost. Remember in the
Grandfather Frost.
Grandfather Frost, right? It might be something related there. And invite him three times to take part in dinner with the family. And of course, the Frost doesn't answer. And so the father or the eldest will say, Frost, come to us to eat kuchka. And if you don't come, don't come for our rye, wheat, or other crops. So,
Mark, you know, so every time I like to find something to adopt for my new holiday tradition, I know we got a year to go, but I got my first one. You'll catch me in the front yard holding up my kuchka.
I'm just going to let that go. Another tradition is that there's a didu, which is a Ukrainian Christmas.
Excuse me?
Didu, I know. Got your kuchka and your didu. A didu, which is a Ukrainian Christmas decoration made from a sheaf of wheat. Didu literally means grandfather spirit. So the didu is traditionally made from the first or the last stalks of wheat reaped during the year. They symbolize the household wished for an abundance of nature and bountiful harvest for the upcoming year, also prosperity and fertility and good luck for the next year. So some families actually put the didu in the middle of their plate,
you know,
or their table rather.
I'm amazed, you know, I think because of the war, we've learned more how there's more of a grain basket there in Ukraine. But before the war, I don't think I knew that. And here, see, two of these traditions are focused on the agriculture, you know, and saving the crops.
Yeah, no, same, Bob. I was very ignorant to what Ukraine does for the grains across the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another pop tradition that's become more widespread is singing Kolikaka and, oh boy, Sharutki. These are traditional songs sung during the holiday season. They're Christmas carols, but they are sung on different days and with different content, right? The first songs are about baby Jesus and the birth of light. The second are more about prosperity, fertility, good health for the families. It's believed that everything sung about will come true, which really goes back to even the Carol of the Bells,
yes,
right? Singing about prosperity and generosity.
I like that. Yeah.
In some areas, people try to dress in traditional costumes or wear special costumes, again, like goats and devils.
They're really popular outside of the States, I tell you.
I really should have got you a goat costume for Christmas. I'm sorry, Bob.
I wish I was sitting here in one right now.
Another tradition is for the Ukrainian children to sing songs about sowing and planting while spilling grains across the threshold into one's
another
home.
One. Wow. Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a welcoming into the new world. In the real old days, it was customary to do this at first dawn, and the first person to cross the threshold must be a sower, which is exclusively a man, who will bring money and wealth to the house. However, if a woman was the first guest, it'll bring tears and sadness.
Okay. Honey, next time we have the question of what do you want to borrow from a holiday? How about this one? You cross that threshold, you're bringing sadness and tears to the house.
As I often say, Sue, I don't make the news. I just report it. So that's some of the traditions.
A lot of agriculture.
It is very, yeah. I mean, it's like I said, the war brought that out, and you know, that if you look across even the terrible films of the war, there is quite a bit of farmland that, you know, I never really appreciated before.
You know what else? And I think it's important to point out, in last episode and this episode, we're not necessarily, I mean, I think we want to focus on the people in both instances, because we're not demonizing one or the other. I mean, there are many of them are victims, right?
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
The least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
Hey, let's liven up a bit. Let's talk a little bit of music.
Well, that sounds awesome. Wait, I got to sit down now? Oh.
That was the most incredible impersonation of club dancing I've ever seen in my life. But it does have sort of that club music.
It does, yeah.
Well, this is a remix of a traditional Christmas song by Ukrainian singer Ruslana. Not only is she a singer, but she's also an activist, a former politician, and professional conductor.
Make me feel like I haven't accomplished anything.
Right. Ruslana was a deputy in the Ukrainian parliament in 2006 to 2007 for the party Our Ukraine. She's one of the biggest pop stars from Eastern Europe and was one of the first artists from the former Soviet Union to go platinum.
Wow.
It made me think,
and a politician and an activist.
You know, I wonder too if... being in the parliament, if she actually interacted with the current president at all.
Oh.
Like in around politics.
Although I think he came, you know, he was like in acting.
He was in acting comedy. Yeah, yeah, exactly. She has a distinctive technique that incorporates the ancient ethnic styles of the Carpathian mountain people with modern popular movements. Wow. You sort of get that in the very beginning.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of old and then it sort of really picks up.
Yeah, she sounds like she's kind of yodeling almost. Yeah.
Yeah, good point. I like, yep. She's an active voice in supporting democracy during the Orange Revolution in 2004. And now she's fighting in every way she can for her country. She's written a new song for the people of Ukraine. It's titled "I'm Alive."
That's awesome.
So, yep. Yeah. So, Bob, we're winding down here.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Before we head off to open our gifts.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see what you bought me. You know, at this time of the year, we like to speak about and pray for peace on earth and goodwill to men. You know, we've covered Russia and Ukraine on our December shows because, well, we just know what those two countries are currently facing. Horrible war, difficult to watch the death and destruction. I know that in our small way, we show in our podcast that we have more in common than we realize, right? This has really been, I think, a great way to show that we have a lot in common across the world. And, you know, Scrooge pledged at the end of the Christmas Carol to honor Christmas all the year. But sometimes this is a burden. This burden gets pretty heavy.
Yeah.
How do you do it? We all recognize the phrase peace on earth and goodwill to men. And it's often repeated during the holidays. We say it without really meaning and maybe truly understanding what it means. But what is one way that you strive to embody this creed? How do you honor Christmas and spread peace and goodwill?
You know, I feel like I'm stealing your thunder from the last show because I've thought about it a lot. Because this is important, because sometimes we do say things around the holidays and we're so used to saying them, you don't think about them anymore. Yeah. And yeah, we want peace on earth. You know, every Miss America will say that she wants to, you know, have peace on earth. But, you know, you said last time, in small ways, focus on small ways. And it always reminds me of my most favorite Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life. Mm. And in that movie, mm-hmm. to me, what you take away from it is how the very small things that you can do in your normal, ordinary life have impacts beyond, you know, you don't realize it. So what I try to do is, you know, try to be a good person. Mm-hmm. You try to be nice. You try to spread, you know, I like to stay happy and positive and try to, you know, spread that. And I'm hoping if someone's not feeling that way, maybe it'll pick them up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I always used to tell people one of the things we used to do in the town is we would give a scholarship away to the kids. And I would go to the scholarship night and so many people would get up and I'm not, this, you know, disparaging this, yeah. but they just hand it, here's your check, you know. I would get up and, you know, they didn't give you a time limit. So I'd take about 15 minutes and focus on the kid and say,
yeah.
this is what they did and really build them up and give them that check. And I would think, I hope somehow in some small way, I'm doing something positive here.
Yeah. Yeah. If Bob and Mark had to solve world peace on our own, right? It's so large and it's overwhelming. And so I think it's staying close to where you can make a difference. I'm gonna have to quote my mom again. You know, she used to always tell us
have like a Mark's parents' corner.
That's really, you know, I was lucky. I had great parents. My mom especially.
I'm gonna start writing these down. You know,
truly an angel on face earth. But she's like, she would push us to help other people, and we would again as kids you just begrudgingly go. But you know, she used to always say, if you can't find someone to help, you're not looking hard enough. And so, you know, like I get so mad at myself when I have an opportunity.
You know, you could have printed these all in a book, you know.
Well, maybe I'll write them down someday. But I mean, these are lessons that, it's not about my mom, but she did so many wonderful things and would just find ways. Like, you'd be like I'll go, one example I'll give, there's a flood in our town back when I was 12 years old. We were fortunate enough not to have our house impacted, but through the church, through friends, through families, like we had six kids living in a 3-bedroom house. Oh my God. But yet we ended up housing almost 20 more people during the flood as people were recovering.
Oh my, this is like the movie Tonight.
Yeah. I mean, she would just take people. So, wow. You know, that's what I will always fall short of because she's just perfect. But I just try to like, is there something that I'm missing? And when I do miss it, I'm like, I got to look for that opportunity again. So similar to you, like, let's just try to make a difference local. Let's
commit ourselves to, that's, to, you know, going into the new year.
A quote, Norman Vincent Peale found this, and I this truly hit me, especially considering the movies we've watched this month or talked about this month. He said, "I truly believe that if we keep telling the Christmas story, singing the Christmas songs, like Carol of the Bells,
yes,
and living the Christmas spirit, we can bring joy and happiness and peace to this world."
Oh, Mark, you couldn't have said it better, especially with tonight's movie.
Yes. So, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone.
And Mark, I've been sitting on it all night. I have this plot ski that I want to give you and look you in the eyes and say Merry Christmas. It's kind of crumbly, though.
You somehow added S to Plotsky. Plotsky.
Oh, I think your relatives are going to be on my doorstep with pitchforks and torches.
They might.
But Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, thank you for listening to us, not only today and throughout the whole season. We want to hear from you. Again, we ask for your comments, your suggestions. Either hit us up at festivefans@gmail.com, or we are on Twitter.
Oh.
Or X.
X, yeah.
Or whatever it is these days. So look for us, search for us. Love to, if you would tweet about us and any reviews you have.
What the X? It's not a tweet. What would it be? An X factor? X marks the spot? I don't know.
I'm not sure. But again, Merry Christmas. Happy
Merry
New Year.
Christmas.
See you in 2024.
Yay!
Actually, we're done.
Done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. It's over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.